Tree Meeting, Tuesday, November 24th, special board meeting, or excuse me, regular board meeting of the Wexel Broadview Heights Board of Education at 6638 Mill Road in Wexel at 6 p.m. This meeting will begin at 6 p.m. with an executive session. At 7 p.m. the board will reconvene, and regular business of the Board of Education will commence. This meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Barnhour?
Yes.
Mr. Dennison?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Please join me.
Yes.
I pledge
allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we see approval of agenda addendum items, which rebels.
I have one question.
So, motion, please. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bennett.
I have one for you. Item K, one, administrative reports. See, when we get to the policies, we're going to ask you now to strike policy 1511, item C. And because this is a first reading, we don't need to have another agenda before we strike this one.
So that's in tab 3.
So tab 3, take on C. We're going to resume that from the agenda. The other thing that doesn't require an addendum, but it's not needed as an official addendum for tonight's agenda, but as an informational item, I've placed an updated hiring summary process and profile document originally presented for members this past week in the fifth. The original document has a typo of the average candidate score on page 3, and it's highlighted in yellow, so you should see it there. We had 4.17, and it's really 4.71. So Mr. Dosen noticed that when he was looking through the document, and so I thought for tonight, we would have an update with what has required at the end of the
meeting. So I have a question. Did somebody ask for this? These are done well after the fact, so. These were done before?
These are done every time you have a candidate.
Correct.
We put in the Friday diff so that you would have a chance to see the numbers. Mr. Dosen was reviewing it and saw that there was a calculation error.
Okay.
And what it was, instead of 4.17, that came in the original document on the last one on that page, it's 4.71 on the average candidate score. So nothing has changed with who's been selected, what it is, for tonight's meeting. It's just updated so that it's reflective of the true average that person received, which is dramatically higher thanks to his catching it.
How would you catch that? Were you out with a calculator adding it?
It's numbers.
I'm shocked, Kathleen, that you and I didn't pick it up.
No, because the one, if you look at the two above it.
I'm sorry, I'm just curious.
If you look at the two above it, their average was 4.86. And the scores were almost identical, so it needed to be really close to 4.86, and 4.1 seemed mighty low.
I'm glad you're on our board of that.
Yes, I am.
Any other discussion?
No, call back, Mr. Rose.
Yes,
Mrs. Brenner?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item B, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee. Board policy 0166. Item A, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Barnhour?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We are now in executive session. We will reconvene at 7 p.m.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good evening and welcome back to the Monday, November 23rd, Wexel Broadview Heights regular meeting of the Board of Education at 6638 Mill Road. We started with an executive session at 6 p.m. and we'll be convening and in addition to reconvening, please join me for 5 minutes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
minutes of the October 26, 2015 and November 8, 2015 board meetings. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Any conversation or discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jackson?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item G, resolution to approve the financial reports of October 2015 in tab 2. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Pratt?
Thank you. So that turns on here?
I don't have a fan.
Nope. Is it blinking?
It's coming.
Is it?
Transpose that 7-1 again. That's a little better. As you know, we just updated the forecast last month, so we really only have 1 month of variance to even discuss this evening, so I'll attempt to be brief. The revenue side, the major variance is just timing. Guessed in the forecast, we would receive the homestead and rollback money in November. It came in October, so that will even itself out next month. And just a little bit of variance on when we're receiving interest payments, not significant, but it was a little less than $15,000. Then we did have the workers' comp premium refund that came in for $13,000. In the past, we've known about those, and they were about $100,000. So while it's not $100,000 this time, it is $13,000, and we'll take everything we get cash-wise. So the variances on the expenditure side, you can see those reported. Everything is really a matter of timing. We're fairly close on the salary estimate. The fringes swing back and forth depending on when our 3-pay months hit and when the retirement related to that calculates. So that should balance out. I feel pretty confident in the forecast estimates that we just presented last month. The other items are there. When I get to the bottom, if the overall variance is $2,180,000, a little more than $2 million of that is in the homestead rollback timing of that receipt. So nothing too exciting to report, which is a good thing.
We can't address it yet in the forecast or revise the forecast, but we're waiting to see what happens in Columbus with respect to how they handle TPP.
Correct. At this point, assuming Governor signs the legislation, we anticipate next year we'll receive about $1,460,000, which will not be TPP anymore. That will be supplemental funding. So there's a difference, and I won't get into all those details tonight, but we will address it in the next forecast once we know. At this point, because it's supplemental funding, which is a legislative initiative and no longer part of the TPP, because our TPP dollars will be fully phased out, we will need to be proactive addressing the legislature to hopefully continue some degree of supplemental funding for the next state biennial budget. Because at this point, under current law, assuming the governor's signature, we would go from $1,460,000 to zero then in FY18, because there is no provision in law for that to the supplemental payments to extend beyond June 30, 2017. So
I thought they did a 5/8 mil phase out
on the TPP. They did for those districts that would still be receiving TPP replacement funding. It's a 5/8 mil phase out, but the that is not applicable to the supplemental funding. So there are two different pots of gold now. There's TPP still happening, and if you're one of the districts getting that, it will phase out a 5/8 mil reduction on your overall state funding. The supplemental funding is a different pot of gold that, because the state's performing well on the revenue side, the legislature is voting to put money into those districts that otherwise would not be receiving anything. And for FY17, that's at 96% of your FY16 overall state funding. But unless that supplemental funding continues in law, an FY18-19 state budget will be at zero because our TPP reimbursement is fully phased out.
How did we end up with the supplemental? Is that because all of our TPP was going to be lost in 17?
Yes.
And so that's why the supplemental backfilled that in?
This year we were scheduled for 1.7 of TPP. When that was phased out in the budget, we were going to let's just call it $850,000, about half that would be TPP for sure, and half that supplemental funding. And those are coming in different streams right now this year. So then next year, our TPP would have been zero, but the supplemental funding, well, until this bill that we're hoping the governor signs, it would have also been zero, but it may now be $1,460,000. The supplemental funding is rising only because the guarantee amount is 96% of your overall state funding from the prior year, so that's where we're getting the $1,460,000. Essentially, we're on a guarantee for foundation, so while it's in the factor, it doesn't have any net impact to it. We're really getting about 96% of the TPP amount, but it's all in supplemental for FY17.
So the net of this new law, if the governor signs it, is we're going to get an extra 1.4 next year, but that's it unless something else changes.
Correct. That's correct. So, again, the other questions, I'll be happy to address them. Otherwise, not a whole lot of time.
Yes, sir. Truly for me, if it was to be 1.7, we get 1.46, doesn't the district actually lose $1 from what we were receiving?
Well, it was before the budget. But before, we were anticipating 1.7 because we knew that was the law, and then we were going to zero.
Right.
So Mr. Dawson is saying that zero that's currently in the forecast would now be $1,460,000, and that's correct. So the $1,460,000 increase. But it's a 1.7 loss from actual revenues this year, but we were projecting them at nothing for next year anyhow.
But if we were to update the forecast right now, we could only assume 1.4 extra for 17 and then zeros after that. Nothing
that's
after
correct.
That unless the legislature
that's correct.
Does
in the next
more,
which you won't know.
Right, we won't know. And that also assumes the governor signs this, which every indication is that he will, but has not yet.
Right.
Which has been weeks.
Right.
Campaigning.
Right. I mean, that's no commentary on anything other than it's not signed.
Right. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Will.
Anything else for Rick?
Thanks, Chris.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Barnard?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item D, the business of the treasurer, appropriation adjustments. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Dunn again.
The general fund change is a slight reduction. That's to mirror what was the expenditure amount approved in the forecast. I try to keep the appropriations matched to that, since that's really our guiding financial document. The Fund 401 increase is a slight amount of interest earnings from last fiscal year, and we closed out those grants last month and returned any very small balance, but that just gets us to spend all of the interest that was accumulated last year. And Fund 499 increase from $0 to $50,000 is a state tobacco prevention grant that was recently received by CAPA, and that enables them to spend those dollars for the intended purpose of the project.
Is there a time frame for that $499?
June 30th is the close date.
So it's a 1 year?
Yes, sir.
Good for them getting a grant. Any other questions or comments?
Is it unexpected? Was it before she presented? Did she know she got that grant?
No, we received word after the presentation that we received it. We had applied for a federal grant as well as a state grant. We had received word on the federal grant that it was not funded. We had not received any indication on the state grant. Probably, I don't know, a week, 10 days ago, we learned about it, that it was received. It's for new initiatives related to tobacco prevention that involves a person to chair the efforts associated with that grant. There's really not much that I can see built into that grant that offsets current expenses. Maybe a little bit in supplies, maybe a little bit in purchase services where there might be some overlap in activities that occur within that organization, but I don't see.
It's a 1 year grant.
It's a 1 year grant. I would say that best there's maybe 15% of that grant that might involve some overlap with current operations, but 85% or better is new initiatives related to the specific project.
Okay.
Thanks. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhard?
Yes.
Mr. Dennison?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item I, communications. Parent survey and extracurriculars.
Mr. Prebles. Mr. Verdine, if you could give us something.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Expectation from elementary even to middle school about the way the relationships develop, about the way the children work together, collaborate together, the types of things that they're doing together, and certainly the opportunities that we provide to them in classes in school as well as co-curricular and extracurricular activities are important to parents. At the high school level, there were 53.9% at the middle school believe that information about programs that encourage and promote opportunities, self-awareness, independence, self-management is important to middle school parents, 58.9%. Again, crisis support services, safety and security in schools, as well as now kids are starting to make some choices, make some independent decisions, and so making sure that there is opportunity for them to talk about those things, have mentor-type individuals wrapped around them to assist, as well as other students, is becoming important to parents. 291, or 55% of the people who took the survey were representing high school, and 54.4% believe that academic support to students is important. These are things like peer tutors, study sessions, test-taking skills before and after school, opportunities for kids to enhance their performance in classes or the studies that they've chosen. 80.4%, now we get into some very significant numbers, and this is something that I think the board highlighted at the very beginning of this process, but 84.4% wanted to talk about post-secondary college career planning information. So as kids are moving through the system, their parents are beginning to really work with them on some of the classes that they're taking, how those classes and opportunities develop into opportunities that are post-secondary in nature. 78.5%, again, I think the board predicted this, want to know about post-secondary college and career scholarship and financial information. So they want to know about the forms, they want to know about the opportunities, they want to know, investigate, and hear more information about how they can position their children for the best economical situation and how that parlays into college with some of the choices that they make. 50.4%, I believe it's important for school-to-work transition services to be available. We talked about kids taking or having opportunities where they might be meeting with people in interview-type things. Just like you would choose a college, how do you choose a post-secondary option that is career-related or entrepreneurial-type related activity or some sort of a certification beyond high school? So a percentage of our parents believe that that's important, and that does speak to that entrepreneurial, technological society that we live in where kids are becoming more and more attuned to specific niche-type things after high school, and parents are concerned about that. 51.9% believe the parent consultation to discuss student academic, social, and career development is important, and then 50.8% felt it was very important for kids to be able to have problem-solving and decision-making strategies as it relates to not only themselves currently, but as they move on. And so those are the responses that we received back from parents. There's some other responses, and we have a document for board members to take a look at that provides you with the parent actual written feedback, and we'll give that to you. But the next slide is what they call a word cloud. And so with all the responses that came to us from parents, these kind of pull out those words that are most often used, and the list can be difficult up there to kind of to pull them out, so I'll tell you what they were. Parents believe that academics, children, college, grades, help in the classroom, guidance and services are important. They want information, issues, no, needs, parents, services, support, teachers, and things. So those are the words that pop off of what was provided back to us in just common writing that parents may have provided when they fill out the survey. So when you take all of this, we now move into the last section, and there are themes that came out of this work. One was communication, the second was information, and roles and responsibilities. And so parents want more communication about all of the things that we offer. They want that communication to come in various forms, and they'd like to come on the devices that they use most of the time. So if on a laptop, on a cell phone, on whatever it might be, they want that information provided to them, and they want quality lines of communication. And that communication with counselors extends beyond just those type of two-way, but it's more about communication with teachers about grades, communication with teachers and staff about things that are happening with their children from a social aspect, from a maturation aspect. All of those things that we talked about a few minutes ago that came out, we begin to see that communication is very important. Information is important to parents. Information, just like we talked about with financial, and information about options, opportunities, information about what's available to kids, where they might be able to go and access these things, not only in our school, but in other schools. And if it's in other schools and other places, how can we bring it closer to home so that our children will have access on a more local level? And we saw that in some of the questions. And then roles and responsibilities is important. And as you go through probably more of the written comments from parents, you begin to see things that they're looking for out of the adults. So they're trying to help define the roles and the responsibilities of counselors and assistants. So those are the three sort of large theme areas that came out of the survey information. And so then the last slide that I want to show you is what we would like to be doing as far as next steps. So we have this information. We have it in themes. We have feedback from various levels. We have the word cloud. We have large themes that I just talked about, and now what we have are next steps. So what we want to try to do is we want to share and analyze these results to our internal, from an internal perspective and an external perspective. We obviously are going to have a meeting, and we've talked to members of the board and informed you that the counselors will come together. They will meet with their principals from their buildings as well as the counselors with all this information, and they will begin to analyze the things that we're talking about this evening. And then the next thing is we have the external folks, or not folks, but the external things we'd like to do. There are other districts that we would like to visit based on this information to see what other high-quality educational systems are doing. We also want to use the National Guidance Counselor Association because that was where the design of the questions came from, and then refer back to that to find out what the connections are between what we're learning at home and what's happening on a national perspective as well when you think about best practices. We want to prioritize the second part, that communication, information, roles and responsibilities, that will come out of the sharing and analyze portion. So we will share, we will analyze, we will take a look at other places. We will then take a look at this, take this information, and we will prioritize it in those three categories. And the goal is to provide action steps then for the Board of Education as to what we would like to recommend to the board as to next steps with this particular work plan. So right now, it's been sort of an information dump. We're beginning to analyze and compartmentalize and develop the larger themes. We're going to take a look at internal, external opportunities, and then we're going to develop some action steps. And we want to bring that back to the Board of Education in January so that we can update the work plan that we currently have in place. And this is important because as we think about the month of January, high school, middle school specifically, are beginning to think about programming for the upcoming year, and that's why we're trying to push as quickly as we were and expedite this process to get to the point that we're at right now. And that's the information that I have for you this evening. And if there are other things that you would like to see as a board, if you have guidance, if you have recommendations, if you have additional comments that you'd like to make to help us as we move through the action step part of this, please let us know because we certainly want your involvement in the process. It is your board work.
Who's going to be bringing this back? Are the principals going to be bringing it back in January?
Dr. Simsek will be providing because she's the administrator.
I just want a name. That's all.
So in December, I think it's the 14th or the 15th. Oh, we're doing it earlier. That's right, because I can have to do it on my schedule. But we're going to be meeting with principals and counselors to review all this to start the first stages.
And then she will facilitate the work with us with the recommendations. Okay.
Are you actually going to have time to do these visits and all of that before January, or January is just to let us know where you are in the process?
You're the head of it. You got to make me. Come on, see?
I'm sorry.
So what do you think?
I think that we could, especially even looking at some of their forms and some of their systems and collaborating with them, I think that we can do that. It's a pretty good group in terms of coordination on things.
A lot of work in a short period of time.
We have a network.
But here's the good news. Here's the good news.
Both leagues, our old Southwestern Conference and Suburban League, counselors, there's a network there that we can draw on to expedite the work.
Did anything come as a surprise as this at all? I mean, this is something that, anything new, nothing new?
It's early, though.
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah, because it validates what we believe to be the roles and the purpose.
Cool.
But now, since you just threw your wallet over the wall, now you got to learn how to climb the wall and keep this thing going, because you piqued people's interest, which is great. Now they're going to expect follow-on steps.
But the counselors were very appreciative of having the opportunity to have the input. And at our quarterly meeting, we told them that would be the next step to go a little deeper. And I think that, they feel like they're being heard and they're part of the process, which always makes things go a little bit proactively.
Just as we take a look at this, and Mr. Mueller and I, along with Dr. Simpson, we spent some time in a room together discussing these things as it relates to high school. And what we're finding is that we have a robust counseling system. We have many, many quality things going on. The issues that we have are very much in the themes. Communication, the information, right? So those two on the front end, just the communication of all of this information. And, we do the things like most other school districts do. We have the parents in, we meet with the counselors, we go through all that. Where we run into a wall, like many other districts, is the number of counselors we have and the legitimate number of minutes counselors can actually meet with 1,400 students over the course of the year. And as that gets closer to that graduation date, the freshman year there's a few visits, and then the sophomore, junior, and as you get closer to the end, there are many, many more meetings, and then some of the meetings become very much more technical because they're related to financial information, choice of scholarships, deadlines, times, dates, all those types of things. And that high level of communication, I think, is what our parents seek more than the evaluation or the criticism of any particular counselor or counseling system that we have. So making sure that we have the communication in place, which then, obviously, when you're communicating, you want to be providing the most factual, beneficial information possible. And we've talked about making sure we have informational guides for parents, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school, that talk about options, that talk about planning, and have those names, numbers, agencies available to parents so that they can navigate through that, so they have the information in a way that assists them. And then the last one, the roles and responsibilities. Once we know those things, then we can sit back down with our counselors and our staff and really take a closer look at who's doing what, how are they doing it, and how can we become more efficient and more effective with the systems and the services that we currently have in place. And if we can't, we need to identify what those gaps are and then come to the board and say, here's where we see the gaps and here's what we recommend. And that, I think, is ultimately, and I'm hopeful that we're on the right course here, is ultimately what I think our Board of Education wanted at the beginning of all this. Because those words are not a surprise. The communication, the information, and defining the roles and responsibility, I actually believe is how we started as a leadership team. And that's kind of what the information, like Mr. Mueller just said, is telling us. Now it's a matter of getting in there. And I would agree with Dr. Simpson. Our counselors, they were fantastic when they came in and talked about their roles, their responsibility, and how they would like to increase services and quality of services for parents. And they did a nice job. So I'm anticipating when they go back and read this information, we go through it, we prioritize with principals, that you're going to get a quality document back or quality direction for the future. And it might not be what are we going to do in the next 6 months. I think that this group is very prepared to have a 1, 2, 3 year sort of how does this thing grow, similar to our STEM initiatives that we've been putting in place, similar to our RTI initiatives that we've put in place, and other things that the board has led the way in as far as our strategic vision. So that's kind of where I think it's going to lead, and I think it's very positive.
And this is encouraging. I mean, our scarce resource is the counselor. I mean, you don't want to the same thing to 14, you know, over the course of 4 years, all 1,400 students. It's like, what things can be packaged and proactively pushed out to our parents and students so that the scarce resource can do the real value add work?
One of the nice things that has happened, and the Kathy Harkinack, Gina Simpson, and Maggie Inswecki have been taking the administrative assistants and principals from across the district, and we have gone through the response to parents, the Disney-type methodology, and we're bringing those individuals, literally walking them through sessions about roles, responsibilities, that have come out of some very good discussions from those people who are really our frontline people. I see a similar situation happening here, where this data will be put on the table and the counselors will help us better define what the future looks like. And the more they meet, the more they talk, then the more they will be able to isolate those gaps and change some roles and responsibilities they have. And we should not be adding resources, extended days, dollars, anywhere until we've identified gaps, and that's the next step. And I'm confident, based on what's happening with the administrative assistants, that our counselors are going to be able to do that as well. More than confident. Especially when they're in the room with the principals, because the principals then facilitate actions outside the room to eliminate the distractions for counselors so that they can do the work that they're defining. That's what principals do. And that's why they need to be in the same room talking.
I know I had asked this for this earlier, but do we end up talking to anybody who's already graduated about the surprises they got, what they would have liked?
Joe, we do have a survey. We do have the database that's built so we can have a longer-term relationship than just 1 year. And Kathy Harbinax was in the process of building that as well with alumni. So, yes.
I just think it's worthwhile. Maybe we think we have a good plan, but then we ought to take it out and go, if we would have done this instead, would you be better off? You know.
Yep. Simple questions, 4 or 5 questions.
Yeah.
You know, were you prepared? If not, what more?
What surprised you?
Right.
In the first
year, the evidence coming back is that our kids feel like they're very well prepared. They really do. Mm-hmm. Second, third, and, you know, when you get into 600 and 700 level courses, did you have the base necessary?
Yeah.
So,
I like them all to send back the thing that, gee whiz, I didn't know while I was in high school how good beer tasted. See, it'd be nice if you hear that kind of stuff, but they reinforce they didn't do it here. That's a surprise.
Is this all
stand behind it.
I agree.
And, you know, and when you're with them, please encourage them to dream big. Like, if you had your brothers, we would have more counselors. Well, tell us, you know, when you start saying, where are we? We'd have more hours in the summer. Do not be afraid. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I think sometimes when you're around certain groups, you're afraid to say that because you're admitting like you're not enough. And so please tell them to tell us because we don't know what we don't.
I think we've articulated that well, and I think because of the quarterly meetings, they feel like they're able to be straightforward with that.
Okay.
But I also couch it with, you know, we want, you know, you to dream big, to use your terms, but we also then have to be ready to all look on how to address the problem. You know, because I want it to be proactive in a discussion and not just...
Exactly.
Based on my current situation, I want to be careful about too much. But your question, more counseling services in the elementary for students. And when you read what parents are writing about, those conversations are not 5-minute conversations. Those are significant conversations with parents about setting the stage for years of either positive growth or snags along the way. So if we can get our counselors in and having those discussions with families on an earlier basis, and I can tell you that right now that's just a staffing issue.
Right.
Because we don't have full-time counselors in each elementary. So that's a consideration. And then through the middle years and up through the high school, obviously there are gap analysis that need to take place. But when we get to the high school level, and our counselors at the high school do a fairly decent job of this, but the reality is we're up against some other institutions, much like ours, where they have specific college, nothing but college counselors. Now, Joe's tried to define that over the last few years with his leadership. But I'm talking about counselors who go visit.
Right.
And they talk to the admittance people.
Yeah.
And
right.
They come back, and they work their way into classrooms, and that's all they're doing.
They're
not a slate of students. They are a counselor that is forward-thinking, providing information back to assist other counselors in all of the things we're talking about. But that's an expensive proposition. But when you ask the question, so my thought would be elementary and central and middle school counselors are going to kill you. But, and then high school, where you're starting to define early intervention, early identification, assistance in the middle through the gap analysis that we're talking about, and then really specializing in information and communication to kids on the back end, I say that in a positive way, as they get closer to their senior year and getting them to the next level. And that counselor, if we had that, and more kids were getting scholarships and more kids were getting reduced cost as a result of that, then that position's paying for itself tenfold over the years.
Right.
So those are my comments on it. Directly to that question.
No, it's good commentary. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next, if I may, on the list. This is a great opportunity. You know, we're highlighting three groups tonight, and they're not really aware of it, but we also need to be highlighting the individuals who lead these groups. We've seen significant things occur over the last few years in these three areas. First of all, Craig Kowalch is with us this evening. And we know the story of our robotics course. We know the story of our robotics team. We know the story of the foundation and the grant writing and all the good things that have been happening. This man has coordinated all that. We've watched at our convocation at the beginning of the school year where the kids come and they show us what they've been able to accomplish as a result of his leadership and Joe's leadership and the board's commitment to this in this particular area. So there were 45 teams that competed at the Northeast Ohio VEX tournament, which was held here. We're 3 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a significant accomplishment to have that type of a footprint that quick and to have that type of credibility to have that many teams come to participate. And our BBHHS team, Wyatt, Slizak, Owen Horder, and Adam Gulliner. Joe said he would do this, so I wouldn't butcher the names. They took first place in the robotic driving skills and were tournament champions. So there you have it. Here we are, 3 years old, significant footprint across the state, and actually becoming a little bit better known at the national level and winning tournaments like that, scoring 228 points, which is the highest in Ohio in this particular year. So,
that's great.
Convocation, foundation grant, and because of this, we're seeing more kids have interest in STEM programming in our middle school, adding a portion of STEM to our wheel of selections for our kids. We're also seeing an increased number of kids participating in the robotics courses and offering more courses at the high school. And if you go to a high school basketball game and you go to get popcorn, just go on down the hallway and you'll find these robotics kids in these classroom building at 10:30 at night. And it's a special thing. And so we want to highlight the robotics team. And Joe, if you want to add some comments now, it would be a great time to do it.
Well said.
Okay.
You know,
great comments.
It comes down to leadership. And we went to Craig after watching other kids from other places and having spoken about it and said, what do you think about robotics? He gave us the look that only Craig Kowalch can give you. What do you mean? What do you think about robotics? Let me get back to you. Next day, we can do this. He went out, he found the people, Tri-C, with their VEX robotics program, George Polikonski. We logged on, he mentored under George. Within 6 months, we had outgrown their program, and we went off on our own. He has networked with robotics instructors. The thing about Craig is a guy who kids even recognize that he is okay learning from kids. He is okay empowering kids. he gives of his time. He does an amazing job. And we'll tie it back to these other programs, but it speaks to all of the 21st century skills. He is introducing our kids and meeting engineers from the field who are interviewing our kids, who are questioning our kids about their scientific notebooks. And what do you call it? The notebook they do?
Engineering notebooks.
Engineering notebooks. And it comes back and give Craig feedback like, wow, which is what we know. So I can't do anything other than wishing that all the kids were here, and they probably will be at some point, but to congratulate Craig and to thank him for helping our kids just tap into the potential that he and we all know they have. So thank you, Craig.
Thank you.
Most of that information was provided to me by Noah Paulson, who was sitting here. I kind of paraphrased all
You know, one of these two. Are we going to host the tournament this year?
Yes, January 30th, and I hope you can all attend. It's a Saturday. You don't have to get a
Saturday morning.
Saturday.
Just come in.
I did scare him last year, our superintendent, because he pretended that he was going to have to make some remarks. I introduced him as the equivalent of the Great Oz, for which this could not occur, you know, otherwise occur. And I let him off the hook, and I did the introduction.
But as intensely as our kids prepare, and it is intense, hours and hours and hours and hours of preparation, and it's not only memorization of the concepts or the speech, but it's the give and take of the debate. They have what they call a talking wall at every event, where kids actually talk to the wall.
In preparation before the tournament to warm up.
It is one of the most awe-inspiring observations, because they put the emotion and the nuance as well as the inflection, and they're literally talking to the wall. And it is remarkable. And you know you have my respect and admiration. I am so proud of every one of them. We're at 40 now. We've had kids go to states. We've gone to nationals. Mr. Preble says it right. Those 40 kids, we got no worries whatsoever. And you would know the passion if you saw them every day in the hall, because they are driven. They're focused. Let me get my schoolwork done, which I have committed to, so that I can then follow my passion. And it is wonderful. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
No, I never communicated this to you, but I was not only impressed, but I was very thankful the way you treated me. I made sure that I got where I wanted to be. And to be honest with you today, I believe that my calling is that good.
Again, that's the, okay, well, Noah is our president. He was elected by the students. You know, when you talk about what's responsible and you hit on it, the two factors are we have great kids. You know, 2 years ago, you know, we had 12 returning kids come. And we ended up the year, I decided to make student officers. Because I'm not in the school, or as some of you know, I'm out there doing my own business. So the kids really have to run this program in the school inside. And at the end of the year, we had 36 kids, the most in the history of the team. And I think we're up to 45. And so they're up to some outstanding kids. We have initiative. And they just go. And I just go, okay, here you go. And parents are incredible. We have amazing booster parents. They just take this, you know, my hands when we set up. So we have to have real booster parents, not just a couple of guys running this thing. And my motto to them was, coaches coach and boosters boost. And they took that to heart. And they just let me know, you know, what's going on as far as getting the tournament. The team competes at 12 tournaments, so it is a team. And they go against some of the top schools. We're fortunate Northeast Ohio is one of the top speech and debate areas in the country. So this really ties back to all the things you were talking about earlier, about what kids need and how they can improve. It would be great if we get a speech and debate team in the middle school, which I do not have time for right now, but that would be a great start. But that is, when you talk about those skills for the 21st century, I would put communication number
exactly.
One. And so I appreciate, you know, we're very fortunate to have the support of Joe, Scott, and people, you know, in the school district. Let the kids do their thing, and you know, we have no tryouts, by the way. You just, you know, you get to join, because our belief is, to quote a coach from another school, it's about skills, not scores. But we like scores too. So thank you very much for your support. We appreciate it. We hope that next year we'll have even more students and continue. We're building a tradition in speech and debate at Parks.
Great. Probably everyone up here, because we all have children, we know that you're preparing to be parents as well, because you can talk to walls a lot. It just feels that way. Thank you again for coming this evening. The last person who was unable to be here this evening, because she's involved in the veteran. talk about the Nassau Young Astronauts. And we've seen a lot of things happen over the last few years with the STEM initiative, and I know that for our board, this has been a highlight and a major initiative. But we sent 36 Breslau Raleigh High students from our high school, middle school, central school in Chippewa to the Young Astronauts Day on Saturday, November 7th. I'd like to thank Mrs. Mack for helping out with transportation on that day, along with 12 staff.
Thank you, Mr. Pebbles. You too.
We had a nice debate. So they got off and they won several activities when they went to the NASA Young Astronauts. And I have a whole list in here of what they won. But I think the important thing here, again, is to highlight, just like these two gentlemen, we've got a staff member and others who are along who do the extra things, go the extra mile, do the preparation, talk to the people that are necessary to make things happen. And we appreciate that. And here again, our kids are performing at the highest levels in the state, and they're beginning to get more recognition on the national level. And when all of these things are coming together, that's very important for our school district. It's very important for those 21st century skill sets that we're talking about. And it also helps us as administrative teams and teachers continue to push forward to continuously improve to meet the next need that our students have. So when Maggie's working on curriculum, she's talking with principals, and they have those meetings. When Gina's talking about attention technology in classrooms and the integration of that, and even when Chris is talking about facilities and networking and wiring and capacity and all that, Ryan's talking to people about the best skill sets to make sure we have the right people in front of our kids. This all sort of comes together, and it is a result of the kids pushing us through these types of initiatives. You should be proud as a board because these things, though they existed, they weren't as coordinated as they have been because of the interest that you as a board have put forth and the things that you have done in the strategic vision to guide and lead these processes. So I want to thank Kathy, I want to thank Greg, and Mr. McKenna for being here this evening, and for the things that you do for our kids, and also the kids and the families involved. It's important that we highlight these things because it isn't always about scores. It's about giving kids what they need to be successful and to mature in ways that are maybe not as traditional as a school system like this is used to, but certainly extremely important for them as they move on through life. So that is the 3-1 highlight tonight. I'm certain there will be many, many more as the year progresses. It's
important. Thanks very much, Greg. Thanks, Mark.
And I just want to make sure you know that we are here to support you. We as a board have really tried to make sure that you know that. And, you know, I know both of you and I've gotten to speak with you and had the privilege of having one of my children work with both of you. And you're the best. You really are. I mean, you countless hours. You volunteer, take, you know, nothing, ask for nothing. And you, the hours that you spend, you're... My husband would kill me, and I heard your wife call you, and you just, it's just countless hours. So thank you, and if we anything we can do to support you and the foundation, please let us know, okay?
Yeah, I better give this to my wife.
I know, I'm shocked.
We have one for her, $4.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Sure.
Thanks, guys. Item J is the hearing of the public. Does anybody wish to be heard this evening? Item K is the one.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is speech and debate. It's not just speak.
Got a Mike Ziegler-type voice, too. Voice.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
Not as handsome, though.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you're in serious trouble.
Well, I just make a couple of extra comments, just so you know that you may not know the history. When we started, it was actually three dads who got this program off the ground, and for the first 6 years of the program, we all did work for free. Now the boosters give me a little bit. I mean a little bit, and so. It's very appreciative of the fact that people started this from the beginning, had the faith to keep it going. Because things start out and it doesn't always go well. You're immediately competing against top teams. Just go to tournaments, you know, and they're, you know, they're from Rexville, so they assume we're the greatest. And all of a sudden they get up against incredible competition, and they learn what sort of the real world is like out there. As smart as they are in their classes, they're going against very experienced people. So over the years, you know, we were counselors as much as coaches to keep them going, keep their spirits up. And as time, you know, we started to have kids winning, and kids decided that, you know, being up on the stage and getting a trophy was, if you have a picture of him when he took first place at the Edison tournament with straight ones in his rounds, and he's very excited to win. The kids do want to win, but these kids are also very supportive. And I think what we've got now is a team that supports each other. Our practices are, we do a debate on Monday night, speech on Tuesday night, and everybody's together on Thursday night. And it's amazing to see how the kids help each other. They're not competing against each other. They're supportive. We have captains who work with the kids. You know, everybody knows, they know the issues that kids are having that I don't know, to be honest with you. It's, you know, I'm not into everybody's personal life, and you can't be with that. They're learning things by helping kids that are directly related to what you're talking about as far as interpersonal skills and leadership and positive attitude. And so I appreciate what you're doing, but I just want to make sure you know what sort of goes on behind the scenes, because they practice for 12 tournaments. We're not like a sports team in that regard. If you have to miss a tournament, I say school comes first. If they have to miss a tournament or practice, because I don't always realize when it's, you know, homecoming week or something like that, but that's fine. It's about being involved and helping each other and doing the best you can. We have kids, there's kids who will never place at a tournament, and I work with them as hard, maybe a little harder than I do with the other kids. And I think one of the most gratifying stories I got was a number of years ago when the young boy who actually had a severe hearing impairment joined the team. And, you know, when I first met him, he was so, like, so much lacked confidence. His name was Kevin. And when I was introduced to him, he said, "Whoa, Mr. McCandless." I mean, it's kind of like his head down. But after he spent a year or more in speech, despite competing, I ran into him a little bit later, and it was, "Whoa, Mr. McCandless." And it was just like that hand coming out. I said, "Wow." And his mother, you know, thanked us for all we did. You know, kid doesn't. You know, we're there to help, but the kids do it themselves, and the kids support each other. And that's one of the things he's gone on. He's an honor student at Ohio State. And it's just those kind of things that make it very happy for me. I mean, sometimes they're not dramatic. One of the boys, Travis, who's worked very hard, and he hasn't placed in a tournament. I hope he does. And he's telling me, "Oh, Mr. McCandless, I was told I was the best speaker at the zoo." He works at the zoo, talking to you know, the guests and giving them educational. And he never thought of himself as a, you know, he's trying to get better. But what happens is, yeah, he may not be winning in tournaments, but when he goes out in the public, he's better than a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And so the more kids we can get involved in this, they will all improve in one way or another if they do this. So, again, I appreciate your encouragement. I just want to give you a little bit of background on what I get. I get the benefit of seeing every day, and that's why I continue to do this. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you again, Mark. I believe nobody wishes to be heard from the public. Moving on to item K, administrative reports and discussion in tab 3. Mr. Provost.
In tab 3, first I'd like to thank Mrs. Burnell and Mr. Jansen for coming in and sitting through sessions over the policy recommendations. So tab 3 are all the recommendations that the board is bringing forth to the rest of the, or these two individuals along with the government board. Board members to consider. This is a first reading, and if there are changes or alterations, that can happen between now and the next reading. So these are the policies that we're bringing forward at this time.
And I did call Mr. Preble's today. number 2461. I just have some questions. I don't know if I'm for it, against it, or what, but as to the reasoning or rationale for expanding that particular area and concerns about logistics.
So this is the one.
I don't know if that's something.
Parents come in and record. And so there wasn't a distinction or a specific line. I should probably go back. When parents come in and they have IEP meetings, they are permitted by law to record those meetings, just like we record expulsion, suspension, hearings, things like that. It does not include 504 students. The 504s have become more prevalent over the years, and so the recommendation from NEOLA is to add the 504 opportunity or taken just as you would the IEP. And the question was, well, what about all meetings? And so in this day and age, more recordings and more people who would like to record significant events, just like any other policy, they would need to let us know in advance that they're going to do that. And anyone who would come in to record any particular meeting, the board's representatives would recommend that we record the meeting just like we would an expulsion hearing and provide the transcript or the tape to them. So anybody wanting to come in and ask, we would automatically do that anyway because we would have our own tape. But this expands it for 504 because that wasn't included. And the others are those ones about parent conferences and some other things like that. And the parent wanted to, Gina talked to our legal department on this, and it's kind of what we had heard back. That
I interject too, that they would have to let you know at least like 24 hours in advance. So
yeah,
you can't just show up.
It doesn't say that.
Because that's always been that way in the policy.
Well, actually,
it just says, it says that they have to let you know. You know, I guess I was looking at this and I saw the parent. I wasn't surprised about the fact that we didn't talk about that. With the parent-teacher conferences and that. Just having lived through those. It's like back to back to back to back. I wasn't sure logistically how that would work, or if we needed to have more specifics about it, would have to be 24 hours.
Yeah, it does. It always is stipulated that with notice, because I have, in my experience, had some people show up and say, I'm recording it, and I have no problem saying, no, you're not, without prior notice. And it's generalized prior notice in here, but we can't stipulate the amount of time. And legal always recommends at least, 12 to 24 hours, and that gives us an opportunity to get our recordings as well, and then it becomes an educational record, so we would retain that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but in my experience, on those shorter conferences, it's never been a request, at least me personally.
Well, that's what I wondered. I wondered if that expansion was because of something that may have happened.
Not that I'm aware of. There isn't a landmark case that I'm aware of. It doesn't mean there isn't something out there, but when I'm not totally sure, I always...
Right.
We could, if you go to part two, page 2 of 3 on that, it does talk in here, and there's not an actual hour, but it says the date. The district would need to know prior to the day of the scheduled meeting. So that speaks to
that
the 24-hour rule that I think Gina's alluding to here. So, now, if you would like for us, the board would like to see an hour, a specific 24 hours, 48 hours.
It says 2 days. It says 2 days.
It does? Where?
On page 1 of 3.
These are out of order, so I have to find
them. Well, they're actually in the order of that one policy. I don't know if
it
goes
for
IEP. So it's after.
That's
not
right.
Well,
I'm
interested.
That would
be faster.
That was a lawyer, but
so it refers to prior notice, and then it refers to what that prior notice is.
Right. So,
or is that in
somebody
at least 2 school days on the previous page, Scott, from what you're looking at?
Yeah. Where is it?
On the first page, some of these parts are very academic. Policy 4061 under option 2, record your IP, it's under A. I wouldn't have it.
Yeah, we didn't select option 2.
Hang on. No, listen, we've selected the third one,
correct,
which says that the parent needs to have prior notice. So we've identified now that we think it's 24 hours. We've got a lot of people reaching through trying to make some determinations. We've already discussed this. We came to the conclusion on number three, gives prior notice. The question now to Mrs. Bernauer and the rest of the board is, if you prefer something other than a day and you want it to be 48 hours or something like that, we can write anything in here that we want to. Not anything we want to. But if you want 24 or 48 hours.
You know what? I didn't read that specifically either, like where it says prior to the date. I know that I was just thinking prior to the meeting, and I'm thinking, okay, is that 5 minutes? I see it. Yeah, I see
it. That is the one that we selected.
Yes.
And I even think we had talked about that during the meeting, and it was my job to talk to Gina, who then contacted the legal office and said this is okay, but you and I talked today, and it recrossed my mind. But
or obviously mine.
I did talk to Gina about it.
No, I feel better seeing that. I was just thinking logistically, how does this work? So it looks like it's really already covered. Mm-hmm. I taught reading. It doesn't mean that, you know, I always do it well.
So, what I will do is we'll put the policy together without the options, provide it to the board in this week's informational item that I present, and then we can read it again. There's nothing that we have.
And then if I
That we can't make an adjustment to if that's the decision the board would like to make.
Okay, great.
We protect our staff, don't we? I mean, when this is happening, it's not the teacher by herself. She is a principal or somebody else.
Anytime a parent would, I can tell you what would happen.
I mean, this is like a scary situation.
A parent conference and says, I want to record this.
Okay.
Reality is, they very well could be recording without us knowing it. That's not permissible. So a parent says that, our teacher is going to say, excuse me for a second, there's going to be a principal that comes there, and then there's going to be a discussion about it.
Do you educate the staff and let them know that that's what we should do? Because I don't know.
We don't have a policy yet
that
would cause us to put the guideline in place to make that happen.
Okay, so this way they'll know. And if that would happen, they would say, well, I'll need to reschedule another time if they showed up right then.
That would be the next part of the guidelines associated with this. But this is not anything different than we currently do, other than the addition of the 504. Now, we may not have done a great job of reminding people on a yearly basis that if someone comes and reports, but we haven't had that as a normal circumstance in our school district. That doesn't mean anomaly won't exist down the road. But no, we don't. If a parent may remember a public records request, I'd like to see a teacher's file, that a teacher is notified. We ask the person to come in. The teacher can sit with the person as they review the file. Can't talk or anything like that, they can sit and read.
No, my main concern is for our staff as a new teacher, that you have told me and taught me, because that isn't something that's taught at college. So as long as that's, I mean, I'm just saying, there's been a lot of things happen to me in conferences that,
and another just piece about it is when you ask as an administrator, if it's a 504 or an IEP meeting, part of the regulation is it has to have district.
No, right.
And so
I think it was the addition of the
But there are times they try and get you off the spot, and so just as long as they understand that and you explain that to them, then
that's completely separate from this policy, right?
It is completely separate. Okay. And is it?
Sure.
Because
this policy addresses 504 and IEP only.
No, it also has teacher conference.
No.
That was my question.
One. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was why I called to ask about it.
That's a little bit of a change. And that's the change that I'm asking about.
Right. I mean, that was why logistically when I was just saying, well, how much work, you know.
The approach will be the same.
What I would like to propose again is that we send the fully updated with all the words this Friday, and we can review it again. And then if there are questions after the fact, we will then go back and do the legal investigation again. We were under the impression that prior notice to the date of the meeting would be sufficient for what we're talking about here, recognizing that there is an administrative in the 504 in the IEP that Gina just mentioned.
Are those recordings admissible in court?
It would depend on the content, because they're considered educational records, but they might parts still might be protected under FERPA.
For redacted?
Or HIPAA, okay. If it's discussed.
Okay.
Comment.
Okay. Thank you.
I know.
Anything else on K? I have new business. Number one, personal contract recommendations as in tabs 4, 5, and 6. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Provost?
Recommendations for the content leaders at Central?
We don't have recommendations for the content leaders. Those were negotiated positions that were part of the contract that was agreed upon between the board and the association. We did post those positions. We later found that because they are actually legitimate positions that were part of a negotiated contract that went away because of reductions, that to go back and add positions after the fact, even though there was sort of an agreement that we would have those positions in place by utilizing grant dollars from another source. We can't do that based on contract language.
Which means
that those positions will not be operating the way that they have in the recent past because there were no stipends available. That means that Maggie Nitzwicki and principals taking on some of the PLC work that we're currently doing. We'll try to parlay that into this as well. Maggie, did I get that correct?
Anything else? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernhard?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Item L2, resolve to approve the resignation of Scott Thomas Pubbles as superintendent of the Brexville Broadview Heights City School District effective December 31, 2015. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
We have the written resignation letter. Scott, we've enjoyed, I'm sure we've said this many times between now and December 31st, we've very much enjoyed your leadership over the past 5.5 years. Forest Hills is a very lucky district, and you're going to leave us very big shoes to fill. It's been a pleasure working with you.
We haven't approved it yet.
I'll take 30 more days. I have some commentary in the letter. I will have private conversations with each board member before I leave. But tonight, just suffice that you have a letter of resignation. It's a difficult decision for me and my family. And I wish everyone here continued success. I'll be always a champion for this school district and its students, staff, parents, and communities. It's a great place. It has been a pleasure serving. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I appreciate your support and your leadership. It's been a great board. Hopefully the next one is as efficient and effective. I'm sure that they will be very good. This is going to be a tough act to follow as well. So I appreciate that.
Good luck.
He also has a very good treasure and good group of people sitting in these chairs.
He's built a good team.
Yes, a good group of people that will do quite well.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernhauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item L3, general. Appointing a president pro tem for a January meeting, revisions to the high school options book, and approving the AP history course of study in tabs 7D. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
I'll take volunteers to be the president pro tem for the January meeting from any of my colleagues.
I would like to nominate Mark Dozen for his experience in the role.
He has done a fine job.
He's done a terrific job.
Doesn't let go of the gavel quickly, though.
No, that's true.
It gets worse with age. I'll let it go in June sometime.
Well, he walks in with a really big hammer, you know.
Yeah.
Hearing no objections. Thank you, Mark.
I'll serve the board at the board's discretion.
Great.
You and I should talk.
Scott, options book?
Yes, we provided changes in the options, and this is related to some changes in law that we needed to go through and take a look at our mark assessments that you saw in there, so and the AP courses and things like that. So this options book is getting the thing ready for student selections as they come up in the year, making sure the parents and students are aware of those changes. And then there are new expectations based on new course and assessment standards in the AP curriculum. These are national changes, and so we needed to update what we're doing in the AP European History course to make sure that we are, I hate to use the word compliance, but compliant, but we are making sure that our students are getting the appropriate experiences and curriculum necessary to do well on the AP or the industry course. And so this is the new syllabus for that. And that's it.
Comments, questions?
I'm glad I'm not taking AP history.
U.S. or European?
Or European, yeah.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernard?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item N, committee reports. Financial liaison?
The auditors returned today. They've indicated they will likely be done by the end of the calendar year. And I don't anticipate there being much interesting stuff in the report.
That's good. PI committee?
I think our meeting was prior to the last one, right? So we reported on where we were. So other than the fact we're still going through the analysis of, you know, of our facilities, I think we're pretty much where we were last time.
Major initiative for 2016, indeed. Transportation appeals? Awesome. Policy committee, I think we covered that. CBCC?
I'm hopeful to report that we have a tentative agreement from our OPC. So that was, it has not been voted upon by the board. Our meeting is on December 12th, but we do have, which would round up our negotiations, which feels good. I also want to highlight and clarify an article that is in the Rexville magazine on CBCC's pre-engineering program. Dr. Robach brought forth a program, an idea of a program on pre-engineering for our eighth graders, and most of our board members did not feel comfortable moving forward with that idea. So I just want, if you have any questions, just refer them. I'd be happy to speak on that, or Dr. Robach would, but I'd appreciate as a board president that you send them to me if any of our parents are concerned about this. We felt, at least as far as Brexville, and I talked to Mr. Prebles extensively, that at this time it's not really something that we need. At Brexville, given the fact that we have our STEM program and our very strong eighth grade engineering program, so it really wasn't something that we needed for our district at this time. So just want to clarify and make sure everyone understands. It wasn't that we're passing by an opportunity. It just wasn't something, an opportunity that we needed at this time. So that's it.
STEM?
Nothing. I mean, wonderful things. If you follow the Facebook page, they just had a really big night at Hilton, a Lego night I saw, and huge parent turnout. They always sell out. That rolled out. Kathy Roderick's facilitating all of this. Just doing a really fabulous job. I saw something at Chippewa. She coordinated a Science DZ with our PSO parents. So it's really great to see it rolling out all the way to the younger grades. And she's doing a fabulous job doing that. So.
Any other board member reports? I just received a correspondence updating the new board from the Brexville Women's Club from Marilyn Serino, who's the corresponding secretary. They didn't do it this last time, but a few board elections ago, they sponsored, I thought, an extremely well-run Meet the Candidates night. And I guess I'd offer that this is another, you know, influential group in the community that we shouldn't lose touch with. Anything else?
Beach ball's rolling along, and hopefully everybody will be able to attend.
That's on the calendar.
Okay, that's okay. We'll figure it out. So anyways, we are looking for donations, and I asked you, you know, for ideas of trustees that you may have that could be actively involved in our foundation. So if you have any recommendations, definitely we're looking to grow.
On that line, the foundation will have a representative. Julie Firestone will be coming to the December 14th meeting of the board, and Julie will give us an update on all of the grants that have been distributed throughout the school district. It's been quite a run. Many of the administrators here have been those, and the foundation is doing great work, and Sue Sprocco comes along with the team. top, but the teachers love it, and they're so appreciative, and so we are as well. And I think it's good to have the foundation, like you said, Mark, not to lose touch with the organizations that do so much for us. Our kids, they're going to come on the 7th, 14th and give us a short presentation of the board on the grants. And,
great.
And
great.
Some of the decisions they're making about the future.
Fantastic. Any other reports? Item M, the board acknowledges the decision of the expulsion officer as a result of the expulsion hearing held on November 17th, 2015. Comment or discussion?
I think the right decision was made on that afternoon. We've been in close contact and coordination with the parents, and although the expulsion did go through, we have set the stage for some positive things with the family, with the student, and the reconnection of that student and some other academic priorities that the administration along with the parents decided were important, as well as the social and emotional aspects of this particular situation. So I feel good about our relationship with the family. The young man is represented well by his parents, and I think the communication back and forth is positive. And so although there was an expulsion, we're setting the stage for some very positive things in the future.
Thanks. So it's good to know that there's more of a backstory than just the end result.
It's nice when the parents are involved. And not that it doesn't happen, but in this case, when you expel a student, that's a very difficult thing, and it's tension and a lot of high emotion, but there's a good understanding of what we're doing together as a team for this particular student.
Thank you. Item O, executive session to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee as per Board Policy 0166. Item A, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dozier?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. The board will be in executive session. There will be no other official public business conducted this evening. Thanks very much for your time.
Right.
Do they take little